Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. In the 1960s, the Japanese Army learned that one of their lieutenants was still living on an island in the Philippines and had been there since World War II. And he thought the war was still going. And so they sent an airplane over the island and dropped tens of thousands of leaflets down into the forest where they thought that he was living, hoping to communicate to him that the war had been over for years. It didn't work. He continued shooting at people from treetops and out of caves. Finally, in 1974, 29 years after the armistice was signed, 29 years after the war ended, finally in 1974, his commanding officer, who was now retired, went to the island and found him and convinced him that the war was over. But all of that time, this man had been living in fear of an enemy that really didn't exist. And peace had already been established. How many people in this world right now are living in fear and terror of facing God on Judgment Day? Of having this holy, righteous, all-powerful, almighty God confront them on Judgment Day? And here he has already established peace through the death of his son, the great high priest, who died on the cross, the Lamb of God, to pay for the sins of the world. But how many people are still living hunkered down in fear? How many people right in this sanctuary might be having our hearts pressed with tremendous fear about what that's going to be like on Judgment Day? And here God has already established peace by the work of his Son. Peace with God is not a process that man is able to work out. Peace with God is something that had to come from heaven, and it has come from heaven. The armistice has been signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This week in our chapel worship, in music and in homilies, we've been hearing many references to the splitting of the temple curtain at the time of Christ's death, that as soon as he dies and gives up his spirit, that temple curtain was torn in two. That curtain that stood as, if you will, a cloth monument to our sin that caused us to separate ourselves from God, not him from us from him. And now by his son's death, that great curtain has been ripped in two. And St. Paul is really bringing that event into our personal lives when he says, we have peace with God. It's not something that still has to be worked on. God doesn't come to you with a condition that you have to meet. He doesn't still harbor some anger against you because of your sin. He's already atoned for it. And so right now, there might be something in your personal conscience that you did maybe years ago or not too long ago. Maybe there's some particular sin you struggle with on a regular basis, and you have this impending fear about someday having to face that great, almighty, all-holy, all-powerful judge. Well, I have been sent here from him to come out and find you in the forest and to tell you the armistice has been signed. You have peace with God through what Christ has done. And because Christ has done this for you, this means some tremendous things for us, for each one of us individually. I'm just going to list off three of them that we can pull out of this text. First of all, we now have access. We have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. There's no more barrier. There's no more curtain between you and God. There's direct access. That's why Jesus invites you to pray to the Father in his name, not his mother's name, not his disciples' name, not an angel's name, in his name, because they had nothing to do with tearing the curtain, and he did. He had everything to do with tearing the curtain. And because of that, he now invites you to approach this powerful God with anything you want, as long as you do it in his name. And instead of thinking God is this big, fearful ogre and enemy of yours, he says, no, call him our Father who art in heaven. Approach God as if he's like your loving dad. Secondly, because of this torn curtain, St. Paul says now that understanding what God's done for us can propel us through all of the challenges and difficulties that may be coming up for us in this life. We can have a whole different attitude and a whole different approach about those things. Listen to what he says. We also glory in tribulations, trouble, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. There's a great theologian once by the name of Martin Franzmann, and he had an interesting way of describing what Paul is talking about in this text. He says, the Christian life is as if we are in a dark basement and we're taking steps up a staircase, and each step is about all we can see, and it seems really dark and kind of impending at the time. And yet way up at the top of the steps is a glowing light, and that represents heaven that we're heading towards. And right now, we sometimes can be kind of fearful about each of those dark steps, the ones we can't see in front of us. And yet God promises us he's got the light shining at the top, and we're heading there, and he's bringing us there safely. And sometimes God may make the steps we're on right now in life a little more challenging and difficult and full of tribulation, so that we realize we still need to be going to that wonderful home that's waiting for us above. In other words, if the stairs that we're on right now, if the step you're on right now gets so good and cushy and nice, you might want to just sit down and stay there and never want to get to that beautiful home that he has prepared for us. So each of the items that Paul addresses in this text always has a higher purpose, always has sort of an advantageous new quality. Listen again. Tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that hope isn't going to disappoint us. And that's why he says we can look at all of the trouble we may have to face in life, and this sounds really strange, and glory in them, he says. Just think of that. We can actually glory in our tribulations. Someday in heaven, we can look back on them and say, I'm sure glad God brought me through that and had me go through that. But finally, this tearing of the temple curtain allows us to rejoice in the hope of being in the glory of God someday. I'll end with a real personal note. One of my most beloved uncles just passed away. His funeral's on Monday. And I happened to be in the hospital room a month ago when his doctor informed him, and there were a number of us relatives, informed him that he probably only had weeks or a month or two to live. That was really difficult. And I remember when the doctor finally got that out and said to him how short his time was going to be in this life. My uncle's 90. I remember that it took him about 30 seconds to get his head around it. The room was quiet for 30 seconds. And then he said, well, if that's the way God's going to have my life come to an end, so be it. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? With such a solid hope in Christ that hearing you're going to die in a month, and it takes you 30 seconds to absorb that and get your head around that. And so for the last weeks, relatives have been at his bedside singing to him and praying to him and so on. And in my talks with him in the last month, I guess I would say he hasn't had any more fear about dying than going to a Twins game. Isn't that amazing what Christ can do for us? Isn't that amazing what the gospel does for us? How personal it is and how real it is? To make your death no more than going to a baseball game. This is what we have in Christ. This is what that torn temple curtain means for each one of us. What a blessed rip that was when our Lord died. Amen.